I'm Chris Preston.
And I'm Brad Zimmerman.
And this is Street Check, the best podcast in the history of Cabot Wealth Network, I think it's fair to say. Brad, Shohei Ohtani is now making, or will be making, more money than the entire market cap of Beyond Meat. Your thoughts?
My big takeaway is he's getting paid $2 million in the first year of his contract, like the lion's share of his contract.
All 10 years that he's playing, it's two. And then the rest,
deferred for the decade after the contract expires. Have you heard of Bobby Bonilla Day?
Of course. Yeah.
So for listeners, Bobby Bonilla famously got some really, really long-term deferred contracts. I believe he retired in like 2001 and is still being paid. And once a year, the Major League Baseball sort of celebrates Bobby Bonilla Day. I don't know. It's sort of a fun jab at the way some of these contracts are structured. Got to say, a little bit disappointed he's not coming to the D-backs and instead is going to our, hated rivals, although I don't know that they would consider themselves to be our rivals, the Dodgers.
Wow, you beat them in the playoffs. We'll get to that later. But $700 million is the number, highest, biggest contract in the history of North American sports, I think, globally. I think it topped Messi's, right?
Yeah, and I believe in the NFL it was Mahomes at $500 million a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he took some of that money and bought like an partial equity stake in the Royals, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like we got that $1 billion from the influx from the Eras Tour, the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, and we just give it right back, most 70% of it. Okay, tell people what's on the rundown today.
Yeah, so getting down to business, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to sort of compress our big three because all three are highly related. We'll talk about some of the latest inflation numbers. Obviously, the biggest thing in the market right now is the Fed. We had a really nice rally after the Fed alluded to no more hikes, potentially some rate cuts early next year or going into next year. And we'll talk a little bit about the market's response to that. And we are, after that, going to suffer for our bad calls. So we're going to go ahead and go back to the hot sauce challenge, hot sauce punishment. It's going to be painful, but hopefully it's fun.
Yeah, we did this in August, sort of a mid-year, semi-mid-year thing. And we're doing it sort of in honor of the return of our usual producer, Madison Robertson, who's back from maternity leave. She'll be joining us after we are in time for the hot sauce challenge. She's going to read off all of our good and bad takes from the last 4 months. And unfortunately, there's some very wrong ones in there, which is why we have lots of hot sauce. I filled all my mild, medium, and hot dishes up to the brim because we got a lot to atone for. Okay, so first up, the Fed. Jerome Powell suddenly is Santa Claus, delivering. It's honestly shocking to hear him actually talk about cuts. He's been so resistant, higher for longer. It's premature to talk about cuts. Well, now he actually talked about him and signaled maybe three cuts in the coming year. Some market thinks as early as March. I mean, it was better than a 50% chance. The first cut will be in March. And maybe that's overly optimistic, but the market thinks it. And so the market has reacted quite well. And what was already a thriving market in November and December has now turned into a full-on bull rally.
Yeah, and I should say, I think a lot of the takeaway was from some of the projections from like their supplemental materials where some of the participants were pricing in three rate cuts. One statistic that I shared with you right after the announcement was that expectations for a cut by January tripled from 4% to 12%, and March went from 40 to 64%, with some participants pricing in more than just a quarter point cut, maybe as much as three quarters or even a full point. I think maybe Goldman got some headlines for saying they expected 2.75%, or at least one of their analysts expected 2.75% of cuts in 2024. I think that's a little bit exuberant and is maybe giving too much weight to the prospects of those cuts, but it very much looks like we are still on that sort of no landing, good equity recovery pathway. You know, things can change in a hurry if jobs numbers heat up again or if inflation heats up again. But right now we're just seeing sort of softening in the jobs market. Inflation is sort of following a glide path down, and that is really opening the doors for a lot of optimism and the possibility that we see some of that sideline cash really start getting deployed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Tyler Londin, our small cap expert who was on here last week, mentioned that he thought, we asked him, you know, he's a big macro guy, and he was talking about how he thought that there would be a cut by March. I thought that was crazy, or crazy, but overly optimistic, but he's obviously not alone. You know, it seems like he was ahead of his time in that way of thinking.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, maybe it's a quarter point by March and not like a half point, like maybe some of the overly optimistic participants are thinking, but certainly by summer, the expectations are that we will see lower rates then. And that'll be good for consumers on a lot of fronts. You know, we've talked a little bit about how consumers are maybe going to start feeling the pinch of growing credit card balances, higher costs for auto loans, for mortgages, things like that. And if the Fed's pulling down rates and if treasury yields are falling, they dip below 4% after that announcement, then that's going to be a much better picture for consumers and could give them the juice to sort of keep supporting the economy the way they have been.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, the market liked it. That's number two in our big three. You know, stocks, they had been sort of a pause first half of December after a huge November. S&P was up more than 8%, about 8.5% in November. Been kind of pausing, waiting for this, really, it's seemingly. And instantly, you know, they reacted with exuberance. You know, the S&P has been up, or all the indexes have been up. It slowed a bit the last day or two, but, you know, in the hours after Powell spoke, you know, they went to new highs for the year. We're not quite at all-time highs, but we're knocking on the door, at least in the S&P. I think the Dow actually is right around all-time highs. What do we think? Does it, now that the Fed has officially, not officially, but almost semi-officially stopped hiking rates, does that signal a complete change in character for the market, or did that already happen in the last month prior to this announcement?
Well, I mean, the NASDAQ's up over 40% year to date. The S&P's up over 20% year to date. So I think it's a little bit too far to say it's a total change in character. But
again,
I think
those were thin rallies. Yes. Until Magnificent Seven driven rallies until what, the last
3 weeks?
3 weeks, well, maybe. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So that I think is sort of spot on, is that we saw the rally sort of broaden out. The equal weight did particularly well on the Fed announcement day, while some of the mega cap tech stocks sort of moved sideways. I just caught a headline. I don't have the article specifically, but there's been higher inflows into some of the equal weight funds. I think investors are sort of wising up to the fact that you probably don't want to be the last one holding the mega cap tech stocks, because there's the potential for a lot of rotation out of those into more promising areas. And, you know, one of the big beneficiaries could potentially be small caps, like we've talked about, tech companies, you know, especially tech companies that are reliant on less expensive financing, green tech, stuff like that. That's been really ignored by the market for the last year and change, especially as like energy costs have been relatively contained. So we're seeing some solar companies start moving a little bit higher as well, because their financing expenses will go lower. I think there's probably a case to be made that biotechs and maybe some med tech names are going to be disproportionate beneficiaries, because they're sort of beholden to the same funding structures. So that rotation element, you know, that could maybe put a cap on some of the major indexes, right? Like money coming out of the big cap stuff going into the mid or small cap stuff. So you could maybe have a cap on like the S&P, but still have a really strong rally across a broad variety of sectors.
Yeah. So the equal weight index S&P 500 equal SPX EW is up 15% since the start of November, and it's really gapped up. It started to gap up even before Powell's announcement, from just around 6,000 to 6,338 is where it is now, in just the last 10 days, or since, you know, so since the start of the month, it's up from about right around 6,000. So that shows you that, you know, that was stubbornly sort of stagnant really until about mid-November. And like we said, now the rally has broadened out, and, you know, the equal weight index, which has been famously trailing, and it was flat to down as recently as what, a month ago?
Yeah, even
a month. I mean, you know, it bottomed end of October, but it still, you know, had barely really gotten up off its knees until right around mid November. It's now up 10% for the year. So that's like a real rally. That's not just the Magnificent Seven just doing all the heavy lifting now.
Yeah. And the Russell was at, you know, pandemic era lows as recently as October as well. And I think a big component of it is something that you and I have been talking about for, I mean, honestly, all of 2023, which is there was an attraction to large cap tech stocks with a lot of cash because there's a safety element there. There's less need for that safety element, so it's a less attractive trade. Everybody has piled into it. So, you know, at this point, is the juice worth the squeeze? And I think probably no. Obviously Microsoft, Nvidia, Apple, Netflix, they're going to keep making a lot of money. They're not bad companies all of a sudden, but people are going to start dipping their toes in the water of some riskier asset classes, some stuff that in a period of uncertainty had maybe looked like the risk didn't justify the reward.
I did this a little bit out of order. Inflation, number three. So Powell said, he was asked, I watched the press conference, he's asked, you know, is 2% still your target on inflation? If inflation is down to what, 3.2% now? I think, is that right?
Yeah, I think the expectation was 3.1 for what, CPI last month, and it came in at 3.2. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Yeah, I think that's right. And he's been steadfast in saying 2%, that's what we want. And now, you know, he was asked, like, are you still, you know, hell bent on getting this down to 2% before cutting? And he said, there's some flexibility there. Sounds like, as you and I had theorized, you know, 6 months ago, that even something that's starting with a two, they might start to move. If it gets to 2.9%, maybe that'll be enough. It reeked a little, Brad, of, he's told, hey, by someone up high, maybe someone who's running for re-election, hey, can we ease up on that 2% target and start cutting rates? Maybe at like, you know, 2 point something. You know, just throwing that out there. It seemed like we've been bullied into it a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It feels a little bit like the fix is in. Like, you get a bad pass interference call at the end of a football game. You think the NFL's behind it. I'm sure it's coincidence. A lot of it is posturing, right? Like, because part of the mandate is price stability and employment, and the equity markets have nothing to do with that. But Powell doesn't want the equity markets just responding to the things he says. He wants them sort of responding to the actions he's taking. So if he had come out 4 months ago and said 2.5% inflation is fine, we probably would have gotten a commensurate rally the way we did following this announcement. So
it just felt a little bit of election year strong arming, but who knows? Just yeah, it was a little bit of a flip flop for him. Okay. Anyway, well, at least we're the change is a good thing, and it's been something the market is eating up. I wish we could go back in time and change some of our our takes from the past 4 months. We'll welcome on our producer, again, back from maternity leave, Madison Robertson. Madison, thank you.
Hello.
For How are you feeling?
Wonderful. Yeah. I made the best baby in the whole wide world. But I'm also very excited to be back. I've missed you all.
Yeah, you do a good job of selling that. But I know I think this was one of your last, obviously it wasn't your last one, but one of your last episodes before your leave was doing the latest version, the first version of this. Mm-hmm. So I figured we'd let you torture us again upon coming back as sort of a welcome back to Cabot Society.
My favorite thing.
So just to to explain, because we did this a few months ago, but for those who missed, Brad and I, every week, Cabot's number one rule, we go against the grain on Street Check, is don't try and predict the future. My crystal ball is broken, is what every analyst says in their write-ups. You know, Mike Sintolik takes pains not to ever make any predictions. Jacob Mintz, yep, too. But we make predictions all the time on this podcast. A lot of that's with our Defend the Take segment. And we are wrong a lot of the time. So I've compiled all of our predictions from the last 4 months since we last did this, put them on a list for Madison to read, and we will decide which of them are right and which of them are wrong. The ones that are wrong, we will eat hot sauce. We each have a mild, medium, and hot. The hot and very hot. Brad, you can explain the levels of.
Do you have yours on hand, or do you just have them in bowls right now?
I just have them in bowls. I think I had them last time. Yeah, I just got them. So
the worst one, the hottest, is the Hot Ones Apollo Last Dab. It's like allegedly 2 million Scovilles. Mine
10
are
out
hot
of 10 heat is what it's.
It's the hottest hot sauce you can buy that's not just like bear spray.
Yeah.
Like legitimately bear spray, I think, is like 1.7 million Scoville. So it's like, or 2.5 or something like that. So it's in the same category as bear spray. And
it made one of us cry on the last time we did this. I won't say who.
So I went with hot, hotter, and hottest more than mild, medium, and hot. I think that our first round, I had a mild one that was actually kind of mild. That's no fun. Chris, you went with maybe more of a medium hot and hottest, the Apollo one.
I literally just kept the same bottles as last time. I do wish I'd upped my mildest, mediumist, whatever, to something hotter, but I just didn't get around to it. It was not out of fear, I promise.
Sure.
And I know how Madison likes to rig the hat draw here. I doubt there'll be a whole lot of mild draws here. So.
Actually, Brad and I were very much on the same page with mild being boring, so I swept all the mild for hot times two. Is that showing up?
No. It's not. Yeah, it's actually
okay.
It's not. Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah,
ew. I
think your background is blurred, maybe. But okay. Oh, so what did you did?
So we're just gonna have to take Madison at our word, which sounds
hot
like a risk.
I can unblur my background. It's just ugly.
No, that's fine.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. We'll trust you, I guess. So what do they say? Hot, hotter, hottest?
Is that it's medium hot, hot times two. So you have to dunk it like twice or do it twice.
Yeah, I had pretzels last time, which didn't allow for much room for the dunking. I've got proper tortilla chips this time, so I'll go big. But not to spoil anything, I think Brad may be eating more hot sauce than I am, but I'll let you go ahead and kick us off.
Okay. Well, this is
awesome. These are chronological order, by the way.
Favorite season of the year. So, oh my God. Hold on. I have to take my screen off.
I'm sorry. Just,
there we go.
When you put it on your head, it immediately blurred as if we had to censor your reindeer right ears.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Now I'm in my, thank you. This is my favorite month of the year.
Yeah,
well, I had Santa's on my sweatshirt too, but he can't see my sweatshirt.
Nice.
Okay.
Let's set the right festive mood for us being miserable the next, or at least me, the next 20 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Chris said that Bitcoin will top 40,000 before crude oil tops $100 a barrel.
That was right.
Ding, ding, ding.
We talked about this. So it was close. I think crude oil got up. What did it get up to? Like 96? No, maybe like $92 or $93 a barrel at one point.
Yeah, it got within as Tom would say, bad breath distance, but it never really made a concerted push over it. And thankfully, the Middle East conflict has not spread further.
Right.
Thus, you know, driving oil prices higher. So that's a win. It's a win.
Yeah.
For
Chris. Bitcoin is now at, it's just under 42,000 now. It got as high as what, like 43 or 44 the other day. It was enough for me to double down on this take. So I may eventually be eating hot sauce. And the next time we do this, I said that Bitcoin would continue on to new record highs, which would require it to get to 65,000, 66,000, which is a long way from here. But, you know, considering it was at around 28,000 by the time when I made this call in July or August, and is now at, you know, well over 40, whereas oil is right around $70 a barrel. It's really fallen back. Thankfully for all of us who have gas guzzler cars. So yeah, I was right. And my, you know, my thinking was that Bitcoin, I thought the bull market would bounce back. Bitcoin is a very bull market play, if nothing else, if it has no other utility, which I don't know that it really does. And sure enough, the bull market has come roaring back the last month and a half, and so has Bitcoin.
All right. What's up next, Madison?
We're on August 18th. The party is over for the U.S. consumer, and there's a hangover coming.
Okay, this one is wrong, Brad, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so since you said this was late August. So we had another third quarter, 5.2% GDP growth, which was the highest since the fourth quarter of 2021. Consumer confidence is, consumer spending up 0.4% in August, 0.7% in September, 0.2% in October. Consumer confidence was up in November, and there's no recession in sight. I would say that the party is not over.
Yeah, I'll take the L there. I will say that those numbers were not inflation adjusted. That is a component of consumer spending. I will also say that as somebody who's had his fair share of hangovers, sometimes you know, things are the most celebratory before it hits the hardest. So we'll see. But I will take the L there.
Okay.
Madison.
Do your worst, okay. Madison.
I'm using my daughter's beanie.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
To celebrate. Last time. No, I don't. Okay. Oh, medium.
Oh, all right.
This is still not working.
Yeah, we still can't see it, but we know you're not lying if you're saying. There we can see it. There we go.
Yeah, if I'm saying medium, I.
Yeah. Right. We'll start slow. All right.
You have popcorn Brenda's chicken.
Using popcorn chicken, yes.
Awesome.
How did you just produce that popcorn chicken?
Came out of a little basket.
Oh, easy enough. Yeah. How's that?
Bought it at a store the same way you produce most stuff like that?
I guess. I don't think I've had popcorn chicken at home, maybe ever, but sounds good.
You have Publix where you guys are?
I don't. No.
No, that's a very down south kind of
thing.
Yeah. We have good chicken. Oh, do they? Yeah, they don't. I haven't seen it. It's not very common here in Vermont.
What do you have? What do you guys have?
Fries, Safeway. So Kroger and
okay.
I guess Albertsons owns Safeway. I don't know. They're all consolidating.
How's that medium?
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Are you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Are you up to your? Okay, so just to not confuse it, medium is the lowest of the three that we're doing this week, right? Medium.
No, I stuck with my medium as my medium.
Oh, you did?
I'll just ignore my mildest. I don't need that.
Okay. All right, what's up next?
Next, Chris, August 25th. The S&P 500 will be up double digits the rest of the year.
Okay, so the spirit of this was pretty close to right. And I think I even said the market will be down, but it'll still be up double digits. But as of now, S&P is only up about 7% since I said this again, late August. I don't think it'll get to double digits in the next 2 weeks without, you know, with Wall Street probably taking their holiday vacation. So I'll take the L on this too. So go ahead and draw.
Okay. But hot times too.
Of course, of course.
All right.
Hot times too. All right, let's really get into this here. All right, let's get a nice dip going.
Did you bring milk?
I did not. I have water.
Got liquid death, sparkling water, and a liquid IV. I don't think either of them help.
In fact, I had too much water before we started this, so I'm pretty limited here. Oh, God. It's pretty good. It's just how I remember it. It's
delicious, right?
Yeah, it is better with the chips and the pretzels I used last time. But, yeah, that's hot.
So was that a 2X? I don't.
It was a
2X.
It was a double dip. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, are we doing double dip?
Or oh, double dip.
Twice? I don't know.
Either. Thought was that you had to do it twice.
Fine. Sure. Yep. Guess I didn't need to put as much on as I did.
That was your choice.
All right.
All right, Madison, what is what's the third one?
Next one. Brad, on September 1st, 40-year mortgages will become available to U.S. buyers soon.
So, Chris, you might have notes on this. With the Fed cutting rates, with the 30-year Treasury dropping, mortgage rates are down to 7% from 7.8% at the end of October. I think there's less impetus for it now. That was very much premised on rates staying very high for a very long time. Rates are coming down. More importantly, 30-year treasuries are coming down. It tends to be what mortgages are indexed to. So I think that's a loss. I think that's the L.
I was going to give you, let's wait and see, but you're probably right. If you're willing to take the L on it, then we could have Madison go ahead and draw.
Yeah.
Hot times too. Is that why? That's why influencers do that thing. You see makeup influencers, all the makeup influencer videos that you guys watch. I'm sure you've seen them hold their hand up behind it.
Yep.
That's why.
That's good, first.
Brad.
How'd it go?
Wait, did you just do two already? Oh, I missed the first one.
Yeah, good thing it's not on camera, Brad, because I
it's not the
either.
Number of times you have to eat the hot sauce. It's like abbreviating the time. So just do both of them as quick as you can and you'll be in slightly better shape. It doesn't get any hotter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so now we both we're both feeling it a little bit. Go ahead.
Chris, September 8th, by China.
Wrong. It's so the Shanghai Stock Exchange is down 5.6% since then, at a time when U.S. markets are up considerably. So I'd say this is, I still like China going into 2024, but so far this has been wrong 3+ months in. So
do your worst, Madison.
Yeah.
Hot one.
Hot one. Okay. I can deal with that. I don't think I had the hot one last. I don't. This is the first time I've actually even tried this.
You didn't have any last time?
No, I think it was just medium and hot.
You were just crying over medium last time?
No, he had the hot, but what he's doing is the hot two is only his hottest, and he's treating his medium as the hot one. He's just calling his medium mild.
I see. So wait, what are we supposed to do? Just get rid of the mild one altogether and do?
That was what I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine, fair enough. I'll remove it. This one, you have the same one as I do for your medium, right, Brad?
My medium is Black Widow.
No, Survivors. Yours is different. Mine's a 4 out of 10, so it's, it's not too bad.
Oh, mine's still like an 8 or 9 out of 10, I think.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's not bear spray level, but it's hot.
All right, I'll use that for the true medium next time. All right, go ahead.
All right, Brad, September 15th, worsening COVID this fall will be good news for the most heavily shorted stock, Novavax.
This is a fun one. Brad's premise was COVID cases getting worse and My gosh, we're really seeing that here in the last couple of weeks. Half my family not living in my house, thankfully, but my sister and her husband and their kids, their baby, all have COVID now. But they're, you know, basically fine. So that part's been right. But your premise was that Novavax, which is NVAX, ticker symbol, which is the most heavily shorted stock at the time, or September 15th, this was, would benefit because that's one of the vaccine developers. They are down 27% since you said this. So it's a great theory, but it is not played out. So
That's an L. I will say the spirit of it was that's a poor mechanism. Or that's a poor choice to short because of the outside possibility of some black swanny kind of stuff. But
yeah, are you struggling right now? You're struggling.
I'm feeling it.
I think you're struggling more than I am.
Sorry for the. Oh shoot!
Times two. Oof.
Okay, so if I hold it.
Yep. No. You got it. All right. There's one. So for those listening, this times two means two dips. And this is the second time the Brad has had to do two dips in the last, 3 minutes? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, now we're cooking. All right, next one.
All right, Chris, September 29th. Q3 earnings will end the streak of negative earnings quarters.
This was right. So I think it was predicted to be slightly negative, like minus 0.2%. And it was not only in the positive, but it was like 4.9%. According to FactSet, S&P companies grew. So that's large cap stocks. Large cap companies grew in the third quarter. So this one was right. So I'm good for now.
All right, Brad, September 29th, oil will close the year above $100 a barrel and $91 at the time.
It is now at 71, as we just said. It is not going to close above $100 a barrel. So what do you got, Madison?
Oh, feel bad.
Please be another times two.
Honestly,
eating medium.
Yeah. As you say, honestly, the double chicken seems to help more than the water or liquid death.
All right, so medium, you'll be all right. Although your medium is way hotter than my medium. Hey, for context here, Brad lives in Arizona where they, like, you know, they grow jalapenos and everyone grows jalapenos in their yard. But in Vermont, it's harder to come by.
All right, here's the next one.
Yeah.
Chris, September 29th, the Fed will raise interest rates another 25 basis points in November.
Nope. Didn't happen. As we just talked about, they're probably not going to raise period anymore. So this was wrong.
Double. Hot. Just regular.
All right. Regular hot. All right. I'll get a nice big helping on there.
Niner with Brad. Basically, okay. We should just give Brad a straw for the hot, for the extra hot one. Okay, ready for the next?
Yep, let's hit it.
Brad, September 29th. The S&P will close the year in the 3,900 to 4,000 range.
Well, <Nope. laughs> I knew this was wrong in the moment. This was, Brad, you got to subscribe to Tim's and Mike's Be an Optimist, not theory, but way of approaching the market. This was very pessimistic. At the time, S&P was around 4,200. It is now at 4,700, and therefore will not be closing below 4,000 as you thought it would, barring a completely unexpected and ridiculous collapse. So, Madison, you can go ahead and draw.
Brian, you got a medium.
Oof. Wow, you've been bailed out a couple times. I don't think you stuffed enough hot times two in there, Madison. I thought you were going to
chew a little more. I shouldn't have put any mediums in here.
Yep.
Whew. Good morning.
It was definitely a delay on that hot sauce. All okay. Right. So let's move on.
Chris, September 29th, S&P will hit new highs by the end of the year.
This is undetermined as of now. We are close, as you know. So I, again, the spirit of this is pretty spot on. We're now at 47.21. The previous highs in the S&P, I think I did mean all-time highs, not just 2023 highs, was 47.66. I'll leave it to you, Brad. We may well get there. We may not by year's end. It would only require another 45 points up from here, but it's possible that we've already kind of topping out. You know, for entertainment purposes, I'm happy to eat some hot sauce, but I'll leave it.
Do it.
Brad, all right, Madison has spoken.
All right, Madison says, yeah, all right, fine.
Woo. Regular hot, so just one.
Regular hot, okay. I have to say I have not recovered from the last one, so this is, yeah.
Yeah, I have ice in my mouth now, which is terrible for the record, but not really helping that much, unfortunately.
I'm telling you, milk.
Yeah.
I need milk.
I'm an adult. I don't drink milk.
All right, Brad, okay. September 29th. The Diamondbacks will win more games in October than any other Arizona professional sports team.
This was a great call. Yeah, this was right before you went to Japan, right?
Yeah, I was out of the country for most of those wins.
Doesn't even know that.
No, I didn't know you weren't. I have lots of questions.
Hmm. Tell you all about it when I can speak in more than four word sentences.
Yeah, I think we're both feeling it a little bit now. I am. So the Diamondbacks went to the World Series, Brad. You didn't see that coming. When you made this call at the end of September when they were in the – no, they were they even in the playoffs? I don't think they were.
They could back into them. So I don't think they – it wasn't like a control of their own destiny they had to win. It was like a – they could still – they had some breathing room, so they were on their way.
Yeah. Yeah, unlike you, you do not have any breathing room right now. I see how much you're struggling.
No, it's breath, water, breath, water, breath, water is how it's working right now.
Yeah. I'm struggling too. Diamondbacks went to the World Series and won a lot of games. Okay, so that was the last one on your list, Madison. I think that's all of the wrongs that we had. I had a couple more written down that I didn't put on your list, Madison, just because they were right. Brad, you said that the yield curve will disinvert by year's end. I believe that has happened. It's not happened.
Oh. Nope, that's wrong too.
Okay, right. Well.
Spin it again, Madison. Let's do it. Yep, let's do it.
Okay. Like extra credit.
Yields came down. Yield curve still
medium.
Inverted.
Not working again.
Keep getting let off the hook.
It's not my choice.
We'll do some of each. We'll do a medium hot combo on this one.
Okay.
A glutton for punishment.
And then I said, this wasn't really as much of a prediction, but I said the equal weight S&P once it got above its 200-day line was when the rally would really be on. And that's pretty much been what's happened. I said that November when the rally had started in the S&P, but the rest of the market hadn't really joined the fray. Well, now it has, and it went above the 200-day line and hasn't looked back. So that one was sort of right, but
yeah, you can call that a right.
It's right. Okay, I think that's it. And Brad, where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of crying, panicking, wanting to curl up into a ball?
I'm going to suffer for a little bit. I might have to take the rest of the day off. So if you could just, take care of the rest of the responsibilities, that would be ideal. But no.
I'm hurting too, but not probably not as much as you. Madison, thank you for doing this.
And welcome back.
And welcome back. Yeah, this is our present to you.
Appreciate that.
And if you, so obviously this is All episodes are available on Apple Podcasts and YouTube. If you are listen only on this, I recommend going to our YouTube channel, to the Cabot Wealth Network videos channel, to so you can see what's happening here and see our suffering rather than just listening to it. Although maybe it's audible.
Yeah, if you saw Indiana Jones at in the Last Crusade, where the faces all melt, or was that Last Crusade or? No, that was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Well, someone crumbles at the end of both of those. So
this is more of the face melting.
Yeah.
Me right now.
Right. Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, I think you need to go sit the next few plays out. thanks for joining Street Check. Again, as always, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, like us if you're on YouTube. And if you have any questions or comments or just want to complain about all the wrong takes we've had, streetcheck@cabotwealth.com is the email address. Brad and I will be recovering for the next week. We will be back next Thursday. We're going to do a day early next week for our final episode of 2023. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week.